May it please the Court, my name is Daniel Gunter. I'm here today on behalf of Crowley Marine Services. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. As the Court is aware, this case arises out of a collision between the tanker Allegiance, owned by Meritrans, and the tug Sea King on the evening of January 19, 2002. I'm assuming that the Court is familiar with the background facts, and unless you need additional information, I'll just move straight into our argument.
We were having dinner with Judge McEwen last night just to get her debrief. That's not true. But yes, we are.
Yes, the court is.
But we are familiar with
this. Is well familiar with this, and as I pointed out to my co-counsel, it is close to Groundhog's Day today. Parties tried this case to the district court in April 2004. At that time, the district court allocated 75% of the fault to Crowley and 25% of the fault to Meritrans. We appealed that judgment to this court, which reversed and remanded, holding critically that the Allegiance violated the overtaking rule of the international regulations for the prevention of collisions at sea, or the COAL regs. Under the application of those rules, that meant that the Allegiance was the burdened or give way vessel, and that the Sea King was the privileged or stand on vessel. The matter was remanded to the district court, which then changed the allocation of fault from a 75-25 split to a 70-30 split.
Now, I have just a factual or foundational question. Was Rule 17 argued and in this case before it went back on remand?
Rule 17 was argued in regard to Meritrans before it went back on remand. It was not argued in regard to Crowley. We argued that under Rule 13 that Meritrans had the obligation to stand on, and Rule 17 talks about the obligations of had the obligation to give way, and Rule 17 would tell us what that obligation was, which was to take early action to avoid a collision. Rule 17 was applied to Crowley, or applied to the Sea King, only on remand. It was a new finding on remand that
new Crowley finding was. Or a new argument. I mean, the court didn't raise that on its own motion, or did it? Judge Kuhnhauer raised Rule 17.
You know, Your Honor, I can't remember whether Meritrans raised that in its briefing or not.
Well, here's my question, because there is a prior opinion that remands, and so to some extent there's a law of the case here. And I'm looking at the remand discussion in Judge McEwen's opinion. It says the blameworthiness of each party's conduct would ultimately depend not only on the rules that each party violated, but on whether those violations actually caused the collision, considering all the facts of the case, citing Pennsylvania and other cases. So there has to be an assessment of comparative fault must be based on all the facts of the case, not on a simple count of how many rules of navigation each vessel violated. Therefore, the district court should consider the prearranged escort plan along with all the other facts when it apportions fault. It may well be that the Allegiance's violation of Rule 8E contributed relatively little to the eventual collision in relation to the Sea King's failure to adjust course and Captain Nekaroff's apparent loss of situational awareness. However, neither is there any basis for concluding, on the other extreme, that such considerations bypass the COAL regs entirely. Now, if I'm this district judge getting this back, that's basically telling my special circumstances interpretation's wrong, but I'm perfectly free to look at the rules, nothing's absolute, and then assess it in light, including of what is being argued here, the notion that seeking was in fact a primary cause, of the principal cause of the collision. Now, are we bound by any part of that?
Bound by any part of the prior opinion?
Analysis that is the table's been set, so we aren't just sitting here with a blank slate. We do have the prior panel having sort of created at least the process of analysis that the district court was to follow.
That's right, and I agree. And the district court reached out, we believe, to Rule 17 to apply that to Crowley and to apply that to the Sea King and analyze the fault of the Sea King under that. And there is a question as to whether that exceeded the scope of the order on remand and whether the district court.
The order is pretty broad. It's saying look at the total circumstance.
I'm not.
How can you be more broad than saying totality of circumstances?
And, Your Honor, we certainly have not rested on that in arguing to the court in our briefing, and we don't rest.
What law is there in the Ninth Circuit or in any of the other circuits, if we're sparse, as to whether a comparative fault evaluation has to be reviewed as a factual matter for whether it's clearly erroneous?
The case law is generally, and I agree with opposing counsel on this, the case law has generally said that a comparative fault analysis is reviewed for clear error as opposed to de novo or opposed to review de novo. We believe, though, that either way you go, we believe that this case should be reversed. But we'd urge in this that there is a principle of law here that we believe is behind this, and that this is an opportunity for the court to announce a principle of law, which is that where you have two vessels, one privileged, one burdened, and the burdened vessel fails to give way to the privileged vessel, that in the absence of some extraordinary circumstances, at least 51% of the fault should be allocated to the burdened vessel under those circumstances.
Has any circuit ever done that in a comparative fault case, said that a certain type of regulatory violation has to garner 51%?
No, Your Honor, we have not found that. We've not found that addressed one way or the other. This would be an issue of first.
How about reliable transfer? Is there any language, in the Supreme Court's decision that would go for or against that theory?
The reliable transfer says, of course, that it's reviewed for comparative fault and does say that is a factual determination. The OTAL Investments case, which was cited in the briefing actually by Meritrans, subsequently published, states that in analyzing the degree of fault that the reliable transfer case created an ambiguity as to whether the court meant comparative degree of their culpability or blameworthiness, that is, how extensively each ship departed from a proper standard of care or the comparative causative effect of each ship's conduct, that is, the extent to which each ship's culpable conduct contributed to causing the collision. In regard to that, we think that you look first at the culpability, that is the fault, and then whether that fault contributed to it. If the fault doesn't contribute to a collision, then clearly it's not a fault that any fault can be allocated for. Fault in the air would not be, or negligence in the air would not be something that would allow fault to be allocated to it. Our argument is that we should look at what's happening on the water or on the road, as it were, to determine the fault. And in this case, if you look at what happens on the water, the Allegiance is the giveaway vessel, the Sea King is the stand-on vessel, and the evidence was that up until the hard starboard turn by the Sea King, that the vessels were gradually closing, and that was, in fact, the testimony of the Meritrans.
Do you disagree with the district court that there was a violation of Rule 17 on the part of the Sea King?
Yes, I do, because I don't know where the evidence is. Let me drop back. Rule 17 requires first that you identify, or that the privileged vessel, the overtaken vessel, be able to identify that action of the burdened vessel is not going to be sufficient to avoid the collision. And there was no evidence as to when the Sea King could have arrived at that conclusion. The evidence, by contrast, the evidence was that the Meritrans crew were looking at the situation. They were seeing the vessels gradually closing together, and then there was a hard starboard turn by the Sea King across the bow of the Allegiance. And the district court concluded, based on the testimony of Meritrans' expert witness, that that hard starboard turn of the Sea King was caused by hydrodynamic interaction or suction between the Allegiance and the Sea King. And also, cases are clear that that when you have the suction effect, then the fault should be allocated to the overtaking vessel rather than the overtaken vessel to see that. There was no testimony as to when the Sea King could have observed that that the action of the Allegiance would not have been enough to avoid the collision.
And did you put in any evidence that the Sea King couldn't comply with 17B, couldn't move out of the way when the collision was upon? Whose burden would that be?
The burden first would be that for Meritrans to show that it could observe it. And then I agree that the burden then would have been for Crowley to show that that it couldn't take that effective action. And actually, that evidence was also presented by Meritrans's expert witness, Dr. Brown, whose tank testing of models of the vessels showed that once the hydrodynamic interaction took effect, that then it would be impossible for the rudder of the Sea King to offset that.
And how about 17AI, the little I, which says you have to keep a course, and the district court did make a finding that Sea King didn't make the manual adjustments that would be necessary to make a course?
It does state that, but the evidence was that the vessels had been on this escort for about 40 minutes or so prior to the collision, 40, 45 minutes prior to the collision. And within that time, when the Sea King was on a 58-degree true reading, it had come down from the basically the left side of the traffic separation zone down a few hundred yards into the traffic separation zone over a distance of several miles. It was moving. May not have been making good a course of 58 degrees, but the evidence from Meritrans's pilot and helmsman in the findings of fact and conclusions of law was that around 9:35 and for the next few minutes, the pilot and helmsman aboard the tanker noticed that, in addition to the fore and aft distance gradually decreasing between the tanker and the Sea King, the lateral distance of that